Ready?
Ready.
You're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. Listening Lyrics is the name of the show today. Can you believe it? This is the third episode after my little hiatus back. In the background, you're listening to Breathe by The Prodigy. Let's get our blood going a little. Okay, why you are saying, is Peter playing this? This isn't Americana. This isn't light jazz. No, it's rave music. And the reason I'm playing it is because we have a gentleman from the Davis Rave Company by the name of Caden Velakis. Say it.
I'll say it for you, Peter. Thank you for having me. Caden Velasquez.
Velasquez. There you go. Welcome, Caden.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great. Well, we're going to talk all about rave. We're going to find out a little bit about its history, what Davis Rave Company is doing in and around Davis. We're going to play a few rave songs. But I think in order to get us going here, I know a lot of listeners out there know someone by the name of Buddy Holly that passed away, I think, in the late 50s. But he had a song that was a big hit for him back then called Rave On. I'm going to play you a new version of it, and I'm sure this will put you in the mood to hear what Buddy Holly, 70 years ago, predicted. Rave. All right, let's listen to Julian Casablancas. From the album Rave On by Buddy Holly, well, actually by Julian Casablancas, but the whole album is Buddy Holly songs. Alrighty, we're going to start with asking Caden, what is rave music? Exactly what is it?
So rave music, that's a great question. I think it encompasses a lot. And the bigger question might be, what is rave culture and why is it? Why do we think of what we think of when we think of rave? And the word really boils down to a culture of people coming together to enjoy music in a judgment-free, accepting environment where people are there to focus on the music and have a good time and enjoy time with their friends and be immersed in this beautiful culture of wonder and just good music.
Okay. I've never been to a rave concert, okay? So if there is a rave concert in town, how do people even hear about it? Because I'm pretty well in tune with what's going on in Davis. I've never heard of the rave company until an article in the Enterprise.
Yeah, so there's a few ways that we kind of advertise the events that we do. Davis has a really cool culture of people coming together to, you know, have bulletin boards around town newspapers and here and there. And when we plan our events, we think very holistically. And so our approach is like, how do we take our attendees, how do we think about how they uncover our events? When you ask me about rave culture, I think one example of how raves are advertised is it's a very underground, very secretive thing. We take some of that approach, but at the same time, what we provide is an event that we want to be open to everybody, open to the public, open for people to check us out, see what it is that we do. So we advertise on the Davis Enterprise, on the Dirt, on all the local media sources, and then we also have our Instagram, davisrave.co. And that's kind of how we get the word out for all of our events. Word of mouth is big for us as well.
What's the average age that attend?
So when we first started, it remained very, I don't want to say exclusive, but it was very much focused on the students of UC Davis. That's kind of how we birthed. That's how we started. And in the past few weeks, our events have not just been tailored more, but have attracted more of the community of Davis and that audience. So we've been seeing families come to our events.
Families.
With children, yeah, and come check out our events. We had we hosted a jazz show on February 2nd, and we had a few families show up. And that's really what we're trying to do, too, is we are Davis Rave Co., right? That in the name is the rave. And that's how we started, was with electronic music. But what we're doing now is taking a different approach because we realized we can take, instead of the rave compared to the music, the rave in Davis Rave Co. is more comparable to the culture that we provide with the attends that we with the events that we throw.
If I were to go, would I be the oldest one there? Normally I am.
No, I mean, it just depends.
Any grandpas there? Come on, be honest.
We would love to have you come to our event.
Any grandpas there?
Not yet. I don't believe so. Not yet.
I shouldn't say gray hairs.
I think, yeah, we've had, if you'd like to characterize like that, we've had gray hairs at our events before, yes.
Okay.
I think that's specific to rave too, is the culture is like I said, accepting to everybody. So, unrestrictive of age, unrestrictive of demographic, who you are, where you're from, because what we do is we just host an event and anybody's welcome and everybody should feel accepted and welcome to come to our events.
How did rave start?
Oof. Oof. So yeah, you're really testing my history here.
Well, I started in the 50s with a Rave On song, so you can start anywhere after that.
So actually the first song you played, I believe had a
Breathe?
Yes.
Yeah.
It had a really cool drum and bass pattern.
Right.
And it all comes down to the drums. And
what kind of?
So the drum and bass is the, or like, it's like that little fast, anywhere from like 100, it ranges from 80 beats per minute, and then you double it to like 170 beats per minute. It gets a lot faster, but it's that pattern that we've heard in music before people started using computers to make music. A long time ago. And that's, I think, where some of the patterns started with the songs that the beats that we hear today.
Yeah.
And then that really emerged into a rave culture, which was kind of rebellious, underground, youthful, that kind of started popping up in different areas of the world.
Europe?
Yeah. Europe mainly, warehouses, underground spaces that were kind of remote. And like I kind of mentioned too, the advertising was very obscure.
Oh, when you said warehouses, I'm thinking Oakland. I'm sure it's big in Oakland.
Oh, the Bay Area rave scene is huge. Yeah, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Good Lord. How does someone become, in terms of someone that's creating this music, you're creating using different mediums to create a sound.
Yeah.
Right? As a DJ, you call yourselves DJs.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a school for this?
There have been schools that have emerged around the world, people teaching DJing. I really advocate for YouTube University. That's where anybody can learn anything. Yep. Free, online, look up a video. And
he's talking about brain surgeons here, but don't worry about it.
But yeah, anything you want to learn, it's this beautiful thing that has been uncovered with the technology that we have is the accessibility of information. And
right.
So if you want to learn how to DJ, you can do so without spending a dollar, and you can do it all online.
What is a main characteristic a DJ should have?
Oh.
I mean, we can go personality, but they have to, he or she has to have some form of music inkling, right?
Yeah, they have to appreciate music. And I think that at least my approach when we are booking the DJs that come perform with us is we look at people who are trying something unique, a little bit off the mainstream, and trying to bring a new genre to people who may not have heard that genre before.
Okay.
And there's a lot of genres that have been emerging recently that many would consider new to the mainstream, a lot of which could be like amapiano music, Afro beats, or drum and bass, music that have been popular in smaller scenes, but now we're seeing pop songs that are making it to the top 50 charts who have a drum and bass pattern, and that can be characterized as amapiano music, Afro beats.
I listened to a show, I don't know, a week or two ago, and they featured Middle Eastern music, and some of it had a lot of drums in it. I wonder if there's Middle Eastern DJs that have sort of popped up through the ranks.
Yeah, I'd be none off the top of my head, but I will say that what's really cool about the DJ scene is DJs take something that exists, songs,
right,
music, energy behind a certain genre of music,
right,
and it's their job to mix it with either a new audience, a new genre, a new environment, a new ambiance, to make something that didn't exist before, a new mix. And that's, I think, in essence what DJing is taking two existing mediums, genres, styles, and mashing them together to create something that hasn't been created before.
Okay. We're going to, you mentioned Europe, we're going to play Avicii. Is that how you pronounce
Avicii,
it?
Yes.
Avicii,
yes.
Who was a very famous, probably one of the world's most famous, very highly paid artist. I'm going to use the word artist because some people might not consider that, but he was in the millions, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Undeniable. His
and
contributions.
He died suddenly. I forget why or how, but doesn't matter. At a very young age. Now, you know the song Levels that I'm going to play.
Yeah.
Okay, so imagine a listener out there that has heard this but turned it off. Now tell me, for those people, tell me what should this person be listening for?
Whoa. I don't think that anything specific you should be listening for. It's kind of like this idea that if you look around the room and you try to find things, and then I ask you, like, how many things did you see that were red? You may give me one item, right?
Right.
But if I say, look around the room for everything that is red, you'll come back with, like, 20 things, right?
Right.
So I'd encourage everybody listening to the song to take it as face value. Just close your eyes, listen to it. Very, very popular song. Very simple, too. I think you'll notice, objectively, it is a relatively simple song. But because it's so well produced and well received by everybody, it got the notoriety that it did, and Avicii is the name that Avicii is.
So I'm going to repeat something that a painter said once, and he said, when you look at especially a modern painting, an abstract painting, first of all, look at it, immerse yourself in it. And if you don't like it, walk away from it, try something else. But chances are you'll see something in this case, see something. So I'm going to say the same thing to you. I'm going to play this song. You know, a lot of these rave songs are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 minutes long, whatever.
Yeah.
This one's a little over 3 minutes, so bear with me if you're like saying, oh, no. Close your eyes. Listen to the different sounds. Listen to the beat. listen to the music that comes to the colors through the music that comes to your ears. Here we go. Levels by Avicii. Well, I liked the ending on that, Caleb. I really did. And I liked the song.
Yeah, it's a nice song. It's I like with electronic music, it really, at times in the song, it'll really bring you up and then bring you down, and it brings you through these waves. And like I mentioned, I don't know if people listening could relate to this, but when I say a simple song, I think that there's not many components to it. It's very simple with the synths, the drums, the hats. But the simplicity of the song is kind of what makes it beautiful.
Okay. You're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. I'm your host, Peter Pastore. You're listening to a show called Listening Lyrics. I'm sitting here with an expert in rave. But this expert is going to tell us a little bit about some other music right here in Davis.
You're too kind for calling me an expert in this. Thank you, Peter. Yeah, I'll give you a little overview about Davis Rave Co. and what it is that we do. 2 years ago.
TSA. Good Lord.
Oh, man. First time on air. All right, let's do this. The Davis Live Music Collective. So the Davis Live Music Collective organizes high-quality rock, pop, and folk concerts featuring touring artists and bands. To learn more or to volunteer, visit davislivemusic.com.
Thank you, sir. Done like a real pro. And I'm gonna tell you a little bit about the twang thing. Now, the twang thing is put on the air by DJ Dirk. And Americana music didn't just show up one day. The genre has evolved from a deep and varied country music roots. Twang thing explores both the old and the new and a bunch of stuff from the in-betweens. DJ Dirk takes us on a weekly musical journey that lifts the spirits, gets the toes tapping, and, well, hopefully adds a little twang in your life. And that's the twang thing. Go to kdrt.org to look up his schedule and a lot of the other schedules there. All righty, we're going to go back with Caleb. We're going to talk about the rave thing, but while we do that, I'm going to put on a little music in the background because it'll help me kind of orient myself for my next question. Some of you might remember this. You said your father did bluegrass, or your mother?
My grandfather, who's been in Davis his whole life, he was in a bluegrass band. Yeah, okay. Dean Labadie.
So he would know this.
Most likely, yeah. I could probably play this.
So for those of you who don't know, this song where two people play each other and they were kind of like, And this one person walks into a Kentucky holler not knowing what to expect. And so this is why I'm playing this song, Caleb. This is why I'm playing this song. What? If I've never been to a show, this is how I'm going to feel, right? Mm-hmm. What can I expect? Are there seats that I can sit and watch? Do I have to stand up and bounce up and down? You know, all of that. So talk to me a little bit. We'll keep this going in the background a little bit.
Yeah, so at our shows, we don't typically have seats. Sometimes we'll have couches around the outside areas, depending on the venue. But we really want to cultivate a atmosphere where people are encouraged to get up, dance, move around, interact with other people.
Okay. So someone pushing a walker might have an issue, huh?
Well, we definitely have ADA accessibility at our events as well.
Oh, do you?
We definitely do.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Absolutely,
okay.
Yeah. Like I said, we want to make sure we are all-inclusive to anybody that wants to come see our show.
I just might have to go to one. I think I will. I think I will go to one just to report back to all of you what's really going on in the rave.
Please, we'd love to have you.
Do you guys have secret handshakes or stuff?
No, not yet.
When is the next show?
Tonight we are hosting a boiler room event at Rock Band University, and the doors open at 9 o'clock.
What is a boiler?
So a boiler room is a type of event that has been recently popularized by an organization called Boiler Room. And the differentiating factor of this event than any other event is that the DJ is placed in the center of the crowd. So for years, you've seen concerts of all different genres where the performer is on a stage and it's very two-way. The audience is looking at the performer is looking at the audience. And that's just been done. That's just been the norm. But what emerged with Boiler Room is when placing the DJ in the center of an audience, you create this 360 atmosphere.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, very more engaging, very energetic with the crowd. The DJ becomes part of the crowd, which is really cool.
And there, I don't think they serve alcohol, do they? Or do they?
No, we haven't. We've had a fairly strict no alcohol policy for all of our events. Yeah, because we just want to make sure that we're not making an environment that people may feel unsafe yet, because we're still relatively new to event organizing, I will say. We've been doing this for about 2 years now. We're just in the process of working with some local breweries to put on some events where we can have alcohol accessible.
Sudworks is one of them?
Sudworks is definitely one of them. We spoke with their event department a few days ago, so we may or may not be doing something this summer.
Listen
with them.
To them, Ted.
Yeah. So I actually have been DJing there for their Sunday brunches. I did it every Sunday in the fall, and I'm doing it once a month. And so very connected.
Wait a minute. A rave brunch?
Yeah.
People standing up eating?
So again, to kind of encompass the rave culture, rave is very broad. It's the energy that we bring to an event. It's the culture. It's the atmosphere. And at the end of the day, if you want to bring a rave or good music to a Sunday brunch, we can do it. And it's seen a lot of success, too. People love it. We have a bunch of groups coming back every Sunday. And
wait a minute. You're talking groups now, not just you. I thought you were DJing.
Well, groups of people coming to enjoy the music.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is what, once a month?
So Sudworks has their Sunday party brunch every Sunday.
Starting when?
They've been doing it for a few months now.
But didn't they stop during the winter months?
I believe they only stopped for December, but they're back up. Yeah, I was there last week.
Good Lord. What's your goal in life? Are you going to become what's that guy that did all of those promos in all of those concerts in San Francisco? Forget his name now. Good Lord.
I think to answer your question, I really want to be able to inspire people. And I think that with Davis Rave Co., we've kind of been able to achieve that in a small way so far. And if I'm able to continue that, Davis Rave Co. really started as an organization. Before the rave, before electronic music, I wanted to create an organization for all of the diverse, incredibly talented local creatives here in Davis to give them a platform to perform, to showcase their art, to share their creative outlets with people that want to receive that. And in that regard, in that dynamic, we've seen massive success. We've had so many different performers, creatives come and interact with our events, and not just on the stage, too. So when we host an event, it's common that we have vendors come out. Anywhere from 3 to 15 vendors will come out and share what they've made. We've had jewelry, people that create homemade jewelry, prints, crafts. We've had people come and give flash tattoos at our events as well. And then in addition to that, our director of art, Tom Neal, is a local artist, and he designed all of our shirts. And if you come to a Davis Rave Co. event, you'll see that he will likely be doing live art as the event goes on. So we want to create an environment for people to come and interact with as many different things as possible. It's not just coming to see music. You come to interact with the vendors. You come to interact with the music, with the artists, with the live art, people that are doing live art as you go around the venue. And so
It sounds like I just went to it's sort of a soft opening for the Secret Space.
Yeah,
with Harry Greer and company. I'm sure you know him.
We've just connected with them. Yeah,
it feels sort of like he does a lot of that. Certainly, the music might be a little different, although he's got some unique styles also. I don't know if you've heard him before, but he's got some unique things going on.
Yeah, the folks over at Secret Space are doing a really cool job. They're bringing a really cool creative space to downtown Davis. And stay tuned for a potential collab with Davis Rave Co. and Secret Spot for sure.
Oh, really?
We've been in talks, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, no, getting back to you, though, is this something you see in your future to expand on all of this?
Absolutely.
I don't know. What did you go to college?
Yeah, I graduated from UC Davis this past December.
And
so in international relations.
Okay, that's nothing to do with this, but relations, I guess, kind of works.
Yeah, well, my entire life I've grown up living abroad and moving around a lot. Up until I actually started at UC Davis, I'd never lived in one place for more than 2 years. And so that kind of created a really cool upbringing for me, and I learned a lot from it. And a big thing is my ability to interact with a wide array of people and to get along with a lot of people and make friends really easily. And I see my upbringing as I'm incredibly grateful for the way that I was brought up, because I did get exposed to so much different culture.
Is this moving within the country or internationally?
When I was 2 years old, I moved to Nigeria. When I was 3, I moved to Las Vegas. And then soon after, I moved to Ecuador. And then around the U.S. a little bit. My family currently lives in Mozambique. And so,
what do they do?
My father works in port development.
Port development?
Yeah, so he'll get contracted out for anywhere from 1 to 4 years to go
wait
innovate.
Wait, I'm thinking drinking port, but you're
No, ports as in like big vessels that come on and the trade. And
okay.
So international trade is kind of how I got my decision to pursue international relations. But I think it's very applicable to the event space as well. You asked if I'd like to take this full-time, or not full-time, but pursue it as a career.
And, right.
And to answer your question, I'd say absolutely, because there's so many different avenues that I could take Davis Raveco down. Right now, our focus is definitely event producing. And we're at this point where we are beginning to expand into developing artists. And so we are going to start taking on local artists who have the desire to grow who they are. And one of those artists I work closely with, his name is Gael, also known as Suki. And you can listen to him on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever. And we manage him, we develop him, we're planning some tours in the coming months. And so there's a lot of local artists who we're working closely with because we have now a large network of venues, event promoters, event organizers, music labels across kind of California now. And if we can connect the local artists from here in Davis that we're working with those big platforms, then that would be amazing. That's what we'd like to function as.
I see your father helping you. I can just see a huge freight ship, this huge, humongous thing, having like a freight rave.
Oh, man. It's interesting that you say that. Our director of media, Matt Wong, actually, we were talking yesterday, and he brought up the idea of a cruise ship rave.
There you go.
And one of the big event organizing companies, Insomniac, actually has already done that. They host a big rave called EDC, spelt out like that.
Right.
But it was a play on words. It's EDC, as in the S-E-A.
Oh, okay.
And so they have a cruise ship where they host big DJs, and you can take this cruise, and it's like a week-long concert.
All righty. We're going to listen to another song here. Tell me a little bit about the original Nuta by UK Apache.
So this track, it's a pretty cool track. It's a garage kind of jungle hit that came out, and you'll notice there's a lot of drum breaks in it, and that's very popular characteristic of jungle breakbeat drum and bass music. And so this one's a little bit different than the last, but I hope you guys enjoy.
The bouncers don't frisk me. They salute me. You know why? It's out of respect.
Everlasting name, the original Nata. Take heed and take check. UK Apache man along with the Shy FX. And when we come, it's murderation. All original junglist. Here when we tell him no, can we not imitate? Originate, we can't originate. All right, mate. Stop gassing, mate. What the people then blasting? Lord of mercy, the everlasting. Watch him, tell him the why. Watch this.
You never know the gangster, me say them in a jungle. Well, you never know the article, me say them in a jungle. Well, you never know Shy FX man, big in a jungle. Well, you never know UK Apache, Rudy Jungle.
Where we tell everybody, what's it though, man? Me a the nota, original, mad nota, original,
original, mad,
a murderer. Kill up any DJ on the corner. Unimi Yuki Apache is a murderer. Mash up any rave up on the corner, 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 corner.
Well, there you have it. A song for the ages.
Yeah, yeah. I love the drum patterns in that one. Very fast, and then sampled from that reggae influence.
So they sample songs, and by sampled I mean they will take portions of a song that are either current or could be 50 years old, and they use portions or parts of it in this new song. And I asked you before, how long a limit does that have? And you said it's a gray area. I guess some artists might get a little upset if you go more than 15 seconds or whatever, 20 seconds, 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's just such a gray area. It really depends. And we can get into a deep conversation about sampling music. I was telling you earlier about like the house music and it originating in the 90s.
Right.
And that emerged in Chicago from taking the disco music from the 80s and adapting it to the new technology that came out, allowing you to produce music digitally.
Okay.
And that was the emergence of house music, and that's characterized by the four on the floor pattern, which is a kick every beat.
Right.
And that's the...
Yeah.
And then in the early 2000s, you saw more sampling from soul, R&B music, especially with Kanye West, who really pioneered sampling into hip-hop. And now that's just something that is extremely common.
Yeah.
A lot of producers will sample music.
So rave music, in popular music, do you see a blending?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'd say specific to like the electronic scene in the early 2010s,
right.
You saw like artists like David Guetta. He really brought he popularized electronic music and brought it to the mainstream. A lot of his songs were number one hits and really started to steer a new direction for pop music to really influence or to really have an influence from electronic music, EDM.
Who did you see in a large concert that you didn't organize? Who was the last artist you saw? Let's say you had to drive to the Bay Area or somewhere to see someone.
Oof. The last concert that I saw, probably the most notable. I love seeing live music. Whenever
yeah.
I can, I'm out seeing live music
okay.
of concerts of any size. I think I most recently, I think it was in October, over in Cal Palace in Oakland, I was able to see Fortet. Fortet is an artist that's been around for a while, gained some popularity with his music that has been produced with the trio of Skrillex, Fred Again, and Fortet.
Okay.
They performed many times. They're really popular now. Fred Again has gained insane popularity in the past year or two. And his concert was really cool because I resonated with the holistic approach that he takes toward his concerts, because whenever he will perform, it's very common to see the lighting, the ambiance, the creative installations that he'll have complement his music. So it's no longer are the days where it's just a artist that has lighting that's pretty typical. It's
right.
What he brings to the table is something very unique. His concerts are very holistically planned, and the events are very immersive, and the lighting is beautiful.
You told us about an event coming up. That's tonight, is it?
We have a boiler room tonight at Rock
right.
Band University
okay.
at 8 o'clock.
And it's sold out?
No, we still have tickets available.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was sold out.
If you go to davisrave.co on Instagram, we have a link in our bio for tickets.
And if you're not sure, go to the door and say, Caden sent you.
Yeah.
You'll get in.
Yes.
What about the one after that? Anything planned?
So we haven't officially announced it yet, but I guess I could do it right now. On Friday, March 8th, we have our second edition of Dome Rave. So on UC Davis campus, there's this really unique sustainable housing plot called the Domes.
Right.
And on November 3rd of last year, we hosted our first Dome Rave. And we're doing it again on March 8th. And we have a lot of very immersive, creative installations, inflatables, lighting that we're planning on bringing out.
And a lot of people.
A lot of people.
That should be fun.
Yeah.
That should be fun. Okay, let's just, okay, now I don't know if I'm getting into an area where it might become somewhat controversial, but let's just say the majority of the people that go to these white, black, Hispanic, Dutch, since I was born in Holland.
It's everybody, really. And I mean that with complete sincerity. Everybody comes to our events because I think that that's what's at the core of rave music.
Okay.
Is it's a very, very accepting culture of people.
Is there a person from Mexico that's a well-known DJ that you might know of?
A very popular Mexican DJ. Not off the top of my head.
Nope, a little closer.
Yeah. I don't believe that I don't.
Okay.
Did you have somebody in mind?
No.
Okay.
No one in mind, you know.
There's definitely plenty
I just think sampling, I love mariachi music. I think sampling some of that might be awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're seeing in the past few years is all these different genres. And like I was explaining earlier, DJs, it's the DJ's job to take music that exists and combine it with other music and create new genres, new mixes, new energies about music, you know?
That's your challenge now, mariachi music.
Yeah, all right,
let's
noted.
Turn the lights on again with, this is by Fred. Fred Again.
Yep, that's
I'm
his,
sure
that's his name.
Not
yeah.
his real name, but Fred Again is well known. This song is probably one of his more popular ones. And let's just take a listen to it. And then, Caleb, I'm going to ask you to analyze it at the end.
Sure.
Turn on the light.
And there you have it, Fred again doing his thing. Tell me a little bit about that song, just briefly.
Yeah, of course. So Fred again does something pretty unique at his concerts, which is where he has a beat pad and he will perform the drum pattern live. So that's something that not a lot of DJs have really popularized, but if you look up like a Fred again concert video, he's over there jamming with his fingers and making that drum pattern live.
Have you done that?
I've dabbled, but it is not.
Do you play an instrument?
I grew up playing drums a little bit. I've tried to learn guitar, but DJing in itself, I think, has been something that I've focused on the majority of my life.
Do you actually spin records still, or is it all done on a computer now?
Everything is digital now.
There is
a beauty behind mixing vinyl that will never be lost. It's very, very hard to do, I will say. And if you can learn to mix on vinyl, you can mix anything, because now you have all this technology that will give you the BPM of the song. You can adjust the tempo. You can match the numbers. There's a sync button now that'll do it all for you. A big thing about DJing is beat matching. And when you're on vinyl, you're going in blind. And you have to do it all by ear. And that's where the really talented DJs are.
I've seen them on vinyl years ago now. As a matter of fact, they were doing it a lot at Delta Venus.
There is a group, I believe,
fellow there that does it. And a lot of times they'll spin that record forward and backwards, mixing it with the music.
It's that's how the DJ equipment was started, originated, because you would have two vinyl players and then a mixer in the middle. And it was the DJ's job to mix between two different songs.
So if you were a musician and you're at a concert, you would hear people saying, hey, could you play Penny Lane again, or could you play Penny Lane? It's not on your list. Have people come up to you and said, can you play fill in the blank?
Yeah, absolutely. Getting requests as a DJ is something that is very, very popular. And some DJs are very against it and try to stray away from taking requests at all.
Right.
Others don't.
Okay.
Others don't mind. It really just depends on the type of event that you're DJing at. Some events, the way that some people see it is if you're hired to perform at a concert, you know, that's your job as the DJ to create the environment. So you play what you want to play.
Okay. You play what you want to play. Okay, so that's good. Where was it going to go with this? I don't remember.
Yeah, it really just depends because the DJ, it's like telling an artist, hey, could you tweak this about your art? Could you do this instead?
I know where I was going to go. Have you got anything recorded?
I have a few mixes on SoundCloud. DJ Melax is the DJ name that I go by, and it's on SoundCloud, and I have a few mixes there. I've worked with a few friends of mine to start producing music recently, because that's the next step in a DJ's career, is you start by mixing other people's music, and then you realize you can produce your own, and then you start incorporating those into your sets.
Could you pull that up and play it?
You could on SoundCloud.
I mean, it'd be kind of interesting. We can play Rule the World, which you wanted to talk a little bit about.
Yeah, so this is a cool song.
We can go out with one of yours if you want.
Sure.
If you don't think you're ready for the international crowd here, you know.
So, two things. One, I think I was talking to you about this earlier as well with DJing, and I'd love to convey this idea that I have about DJing, because I think it's pretty unique and it would help people understand that DJing really is an art form. With art such as paintings and sculpture, I believe that that's something that decorates space. Art can take up three-dimensional space, and it's visible. You can see it. You can interact with it. It takes up space. It decorates space. With music, it's something that decorates time. And that's pretty beautiful, because it provides an assumption that you can't just partially experience something that decorates time. You can't just go to a DJ set for five minutes and then say, oh, that was a good DJ, that was a good bad, that was a bad DJ. You have to take in the full hour set, or however long the DJ set is, because that is the entirety of the art in itself. That's where the DJ has had the time to prepare beforehand, the environment, the ups, the downs that he wants the audience to experience.
Wow.
And that's kind of my view on DJing. So
let's play Rule the World. You'll be familiar with this song. I guess it's a takeoff on Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Is that it?
Yeah. Or? So it's a song by Tears for Fears that the artist Tiesto and Goodfella remixed. And Goodfella we actually had perform at our event last week. So
good Lord.
So this is a really cool song. I hope you guys enjoy it.
The world. Who sings that again?
That is a song originally by Tears for Fears.
Right.
Yeah. But it was remixed by Tiesto and Goodfella.
Okay. Alrighty. Goodfellow. Okay.
That was a pretty fun concert. Yeah, we had that last week. We brought him out to Watermelon Music has a really cool venue in the back that we ended up using, and that was a really fun show. We also brought out DJ Mandy, who's really popular on...
So was that popular show? Because I live right by there, and I go to a lot of their shows. Did that fill up the venue?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a really cool space,
yeah,
and I'd just love to shout out Watermelon Music for letting us use that space, because it's really perfect for what we're trying to do. It has everything we need. It's a great place. We set up a little courtyard in the front. We block off the parking lot, and that's where we have all of our vendors. We set up a little vendor village for everybody. We light it up and make it look all pretty, and then inside
food?
Is the music. Yep, we have food there. We bring out local either food trucks or people that sell, like, out of food tents or something. And
yeah. Okay, what else we got going on here as we go away? To thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Peter, for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, you were going to mention some other folks.
They're listening right now. The Davis Rave Co. team is currently setting up for our show tonight, The Boiler Room. Just want to give a huge shout-out to them and all their contributions to Davis Rave Co.
And where is that going to be again?
Rock Band University on 720 Olive Drive, right by Dutch Bros here in Davis.
And gray hairs are welcome.
Absolutely. Everybody is more than welcome. We do have a dress code. It's all black.
Really?
All black themed, yeah. The idea
Johnny
is
Johnny Cash lives.
Yeah, we want to make sure that the focus is on the music. So that's the idea we're trying to incorporate tonight. And also no phones, too. Focus on the music.
Now, that is a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a good thing. Well, we're going to go out with Breathe, which we started with, The Prodigy. I want to thank Caden for joining us right here on KDRT 95.7. You've been listening to Listening Lyrics. I'm your host, Peter, and We're going to be back next week with another show. I think next week, I didn't look it up, but I think next week we're going to have jazz. We're going to play jazz songs. Well, I've got a guy from France coming in to play some of his vinyl, but I'm going to zero in on jazz artists that made France their home. They've been very accepting in France for jazz years ago.
Yeah.
Alrighty, guys, if you have any questions regarding Rave, go to Instagram.
Davis Rave Co. That's DAVISRAVE.co. Check us out.